Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Kindly requested to come forward. Be mindful of those people that are performing the salah. Especially all the mutakifin brothers. Make sure you take part in the program, inshallah. You will benefit, you will learn something. It brings some quality in your life. Be able to get closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And inshallah, by you contributing in these kind of programs, you will get ajr and reward, and you'll improve the quality of these programs. Others will also benefit, inshallah. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فأزلهم الشيطان وقال الله تبارك وتعالى فوسوس لهم الشيطان وقال الله تبارك وتعالى إنما النجوى من الشيطان صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders, friends, beloved mu'takifin, in the morning session, I gave an introduction on the issue of waswasa and the whispers of the shaitan. Many of us, we experience such thoughts that come into our hearts and our minds that we ourselves are shocked that we can think like that. Such thoughts come into our hearts and our mind. We don't even want to talk about it, and we don't even want to remember the thoughts that we had in our hearts and our minds. What is the reality of these thoughts? Many people enter into a state of grief and depression. Then they need to consult with a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and various counseling sessions. And when this is not properly dealt with, then in many instances we hear of people having OCD problems and all different type of disorders because of not understanding the concept of waswasa and how to deal with it. At the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a Jew by the name of Labid ibn A'asam. He did black magic on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For 6 months, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to think he did something whereas he did not do it. Or at times, he wouldn't do something, he would think that he had done it. This was the effect of the black magic done on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then revealed the last two surahs of the Quran Kareem, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, which we know as the Mu'awwazatain. 11 verses, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited these 7 verses on that hay, strand of hay, on which black magic was done on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then gave relief to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Suratul Falaq, the second last surah of the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about just one of his qualities. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, the quality of Rabb, the quality of Tarbiyat, the quality of Rabubiyat. And then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala teaches us to seek refuge from 4 things. Min sharri ma khalaq. You seek refuge from the evil of the creations. Wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab. You seek refuge from the darkness of the night when the night sets in. Lot of evil take place at night, so we seek refuge from the darkness of the night. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, And we seek refuge from those people that blow in knots. Referring to people that do black magic, sahar, etc. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And we seek refuge from the jealous one when he expresses jealousy. In Surah Al-Falaq, you take refuge in one quality of Allah from four evils. But in Surah An-Nas, the very last chapter of the Quran Kareem, we take refuge in three qualities of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَٰهِ النَّاسِ. Not just in one quality of Allah, three qualities of Allah. The quality of rububiyat, رَبِّ النَّاسِ. إِلَٰهِ النَّاسِ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. The quality of mulukiyat, the kingdom of Almighty Allah, sovereign of Almighty Allah. إِلَٰهِ النَّاسِ. That the quality of uluhiyat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We seek refuge in three qualities of Allah, but just from one thing. Min sharril waswasil khannas. Alladhi waswisu fi sudurin nas min al jinnati wan nas. See the difference in Suratul Falaq and in Suratul Nas. In Suratul Falaq, we seek refuge through one quality of Allah from four evils, and in Suratul Nas, we seek refuge in through three qualities of Allah just from one evil, and that is the evil of waswasa. That this shows, put all the evils of the world together, there is one evil that is overwhelming over all evils, and that is the evil of waswasa. And this is the weapon, and this is the tool that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given shaitan to attack us and to mislead us. How should one deal with waswasa? And how to deal with this whisper and this attack of the shaitan? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَجْرِي مِنَ الْإِنسَانِ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. Shaitan flows in a person like how blood flows in a person. If you look at this hadith, subhanallah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every word, he mentioned the hadith, but within the hadith there is a solution to the problem. He says that shaitan flows in you like how blood flows in you. That is actually the solution to the problem. We get worried with great whispers and waspadat of the shaitan. We lose our sleep. We lose our thought. We lose our food, our eating, our diet. We go to such a turbulent time with various thoughts in our mind. But just in one word, in passing, Nabi Kareem gives us a solution how we should deal with it. How do you deal with blood in your body? If somebody thinks that blood is napak and impure, blood comes out, it breaks your wudu. Blood comes, it soils the clothing, then it makes the clothing impure. And if one thought comes in a person's mind, that I've got impurity in my body, I've got blood in my body, I can't read namaz, I can't do this, I can't do that, how am I supposed to live with blood? We don't think like that. We just carry on with the normal phase of life. So just as you deal with blood in the body, the thought and the waswasa that comes into the mind of the person you deal with, it's the same way. Just ignore it, carry on with life. Don't let anything stop. Does your life stop because there's blood in your body? Does the sleep stop because there's blood in your body? Does your eating and drinking stop because there's blood in your body? It doesn't. Take it one step further, that in our bodies, we've got impurities. There's excreta all the time building up in our body. There's urine inside our body. Now, if somebody thinks that there's impurity in my body, how am I supposed to conduct my life? How am I supposed to enjoy the comfort of life? Everything inside will be napak and impure. Nothing stops. When nothing stops because of the excreta building in your body, urine building in your body, then why should the various activities in your life stop? Because of waswasa. So just as we deal with blood in the body, we deal with the impurity in the body, likewise, that waswasa is also another type of impurity that's injected by the shaitan. Don't let that trouble you and don't let that stop. Don't let it stop any activity of your life. The example that I normally give, one person is traveling And he's got a destination to go to Johannesburg. He's traveling on the highway. And suddenly on the highway, he sees all flashy cars. Beautiful scenes. Different activities taking place on the highway. So he looks at all that. He's not going to stop there on the highway now to watch all the different cars, the trucks, and the different activities on the highway. He's going to continue with his journey. That is something that is passing by. Likewise, the mind is such, it's like a highway. Various thoughts come and cross the mind. But just as on the highway, you're not going to stop your journey just to focus on the different activities and the various cars moving on the highway. Likewise, the thought that comes into your mind, don't stop your activities of life because of the thought that comes into your mind. And in fact, the reality is that these kind of thoughts, you must just ignore it. Treat it with the contempt that it deserves. It doesn't require any attention. Don't pay focus on it. You focus on it, that's exactly what Shaitan wants you to do. Catch you in that. And it's just like an electric wire. Live wire. You see a live wire, you will never go near it. Depending on the type of current in it. You see that many of these fire stations, it would even say don't come close to it. It's properly secured. If you see a live wire, you're not going to go near to it. And you dare touch it. Touch it, you'll fly high. You'll lose your senses. You'll be attacked. You'll be shocked. The same goes with these kind of thoughts. Don't focus. It's just like a live wire. You touch it, you'll be shocked. And that is going to be the beginning of your disaster and your destruction. In Mu'awwazatain, Nabi Kareem, Almighty Allah Ta'ala teaches us how to protect ourselves from the waswas of the shaitan. Very simple. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ What is أَعُوذُ? Seeking refuge in Almighty Allah against the shaitan. So in this mu'awwazatain, from all the four evils that mentioned in قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and the greatest evil of waswasa that is in Surah An-Nas, the only way to overcome that is seek refuge in Almighty Allah. And a simplified explanation of that is this. There's a small child. He's standing somewhere. And somebody comes and attacks the child. And the father is nearby. What's the first reaction of the child? He'll run from that attacker and he'll go to his father, hold his father's hand and say, Abba, save me, somebody is attacking me. And then the father takes care. Shaitan is attacking us. We are small, we are nothing. Sometimes we are so weak that we can't repel the waswasa of the shaitan. We are unable to do that. So just as a child runs to the father, we run to Almighty Allah. Allah, shaitan is attacking us. Allah, you protect us. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ This is how we deal with it. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us certain du'as in the morning and the evening. أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ We seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of all creations. And why go so far? By human nature, we have to relieve ourselves. We have to go to the toilets. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that toilets, they are the places of the shaitan. So before you go enter the toilet, you must say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْخُبُثِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ Allah seek refuge in you from the male shaitan, from the female shaitan. Why is that? You go to the toilet, the shaitan is there. And according to the hadith, we understand that the shaitan is so evil, so terrible. A person is answering the call of nature, but the shaitan takes advantage of that opportunity and plays with the private parts of the person. Now, the effect of that will be at a later stage, in different activities of the person's life. That's why so much of evil and immorality spreads. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, before entering the shaitan, you enter into a security system with Almighty Allah. Say, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you. And the moment you said this dua, Allah creates a barrier between the shaitan and you. Now, although you are uncovered, but in the eyes of the shaitan, Allah will protect you and you remain covered from the shaitan. When you go into the toilet. This is one way of repelling the waswasa of the shaitan. Seek refuge in Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Yes, sometimes, you know, waswasa, thoughts come into our mind of the person, is because of our own doings. Sometimes we do certain wrong things, and because of that, thoughts come into our mind. Sometimes our reading material, the things that we see, the things that we do, wrong thing that we do, then that brings about waswasa and thoughts of the shaitan. Shaitan exploits the situation and corrupts our mind. Our reading material may be not right. And therefore it's very, very important for us to watch what we read and what we take in. When we eat food, then we are very careful what we eat. At times, because of the various sicknesses that are in us, we will even watch the ingredients that are in the box, that what is inside here, because when you take it in, it's going to affect you. Likewise, what we read, we must be very careful and sensitive to that, because that also has an effect in our hearts and our mind. It's a type of a food that goes into our system. And the proof for that is this hadith. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated with the Sahaba. Umar radiallahu ta'ala came with a copy of the Torah. The Torah is revealed on Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It's the words of Allah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam received the Torah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala came with a copy of the Torah. And he just made a comment and he said, O Prophet of Allah, some very nice advices here in the Torah. And he started reciting the Torah. He wasn't reading a novel. He wasn't reading anything, any bad, evil magazine. He wasn't listening to music. He was reading the Torah. And he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam some good advices here. And without any confirmation, he started opening the, opened the Torah and he started reading from the Torah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was there. Abu Bakr Siddiq observed that the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turning color. Signs of displeasure in the Mubarak face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Abu Bakr Siddiq cautioned Umar. Oh Umar, don't you see what's happening to Mubarak face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When Umar radiallahu anhu saw signs of displeasure in the Mubarak face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, Raditu billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam nabiyya wa rasoola. I'm happy with Allah and my Rabb. I'm happy with Deen al-Islam, and I'm happy with Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and my Rasul. That's when Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, أَمَا تُهُوِّكُونَ أَنْتُمْ كَمَا تَهُوَّكَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. Are you going to doubt your religion like how the Yahud and Nasara doubted? What was the need for you to read the Torah? Now, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, you're reading the Torah? Revealed to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the very recipient of the Torah, had he been alive, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, لو كان موسى حيا لما وسعه إلا اتباعي. Had Musa alayhi salatu wasalam been alive today, the very person who received the Torah, he would have no option but to follow my way. From this hadith, the muhaddithin explain, that was just the Torah. Revealed to Musa alayhi salam, kalam of Allah, the confirmation of the Torah in the Quran al-Kareem. What was wrong with Umar radiallahu reading the Torah? All Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam objected to that. That in relation to the Quran, it was the wrong material. In relation to the Quran, it is the wrong material. You get the Quran, that is sufficient for you. When that was the position of the Torah, what can we talk about novels? What we can talk about magazines? Especially in A'udhu Billah, nowadays the type of magazines and the type of reading material is so filthy, dirty. Sometimes I wonder, that's how when people own shops and takeaways or various type of outlets, that right in the front you'll find those kind of evil magazines. How dare would the mothers and the sisters and the daughters enter such a shop when they see those kind of magazines? You see those kind of things. And from the Masla point of view, it is haram to sell it. The income of it is haram. It may be a small amount, but it is contaminating a large percentage of your halal income. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand. So reading wrong material is also, it leads to waswasa in the mind. It corrupts the mind. Shaitan takes advantage of that opportunity. Sometimes you get a thought, a correct thought, a permissible thought, but in the wrong place. That's what shaitan also does. In the wrong place. Nothing wrong with the thought. It's a right thought, but the wrong place. How often we perform our salah? We're reading salah, but we're getting thought. Nothing wrong with the thought. But your thought is probably going to your wife. Or your thought is probably going to your family. Or your thought is probably going to your business.
permissible thoughts. Nothing wrong with these thoughts, but it's in the wrong place. And that's how shaitan also injects, takes your attention away from the salat. So, Sahaba complained to Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi about that. So on that, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, yeah, that there is one shaitan by the name of Khinzab. He comes and he takes away your thoughts, your attention in your salah. How do you deal with that? Now many people get very worried. So, you know, what's the point of me performing my salah when I'm unable to concentrate in my salah? The purpose of my salah is to connect with Allah. And my entire procedure, I only stood ruku, sajda, up and down, and I never connected. I don't feel fulfilled in my salah. So, the next thought, shaitan puts it. So why read namaz? Qasim ibn Muhammad, great tabi'i, one person came up to him and told him, you know, I perform my salah, but these various thoughts come to my mind. Waswasas come into my mind. So Qasim ibn Muhammad understood. You see, you need an expert doctor to diagnose where the problem. If the doctor is not an expert, then probably you might just hit some glitches here and there. You have an expert doctor, then immediately diagnose and you'll go direct to a solution to the problem. So Qasim ibn Muhammad, a great spiritual guide. Somebody told him, I need salat and I get these kind of thoughts. He told to him, simple, imzi salatak. Continue with your namaz. Don't stop. Because Qasim Muhammad realized that shaitan is putting this thought to stop the person, create frustration in the person, no fulfillment. So now why must I read my namaz? Leave it. I'm not reading namaz anymore. And how many people we get like that? That they were pabund with their salat. And over some time they just left the salat. And they adopted a completely haram lifestyle. It is because it started off this way. It started off with their waswasa. Continue with the salah. Don't stop it. Because, and after you read your salah, when the thought comes to my mind, nah, I don't think I read salat. No, you must say, no. I read my salat. Allah is Rahman and Rahim. Allah will accept it. Yes, make an effort to improve the quality of your salah, but don't think your salat is rejected. Because we got an Allah who is Rahman and Rahim. We got an Allah that is Ghafoor. Allah is Shakur. Allah accepts whatever little we get. And we are weak. Our namaz is weak. Our amal is weak. Why shaitan should exploit the situation and have whatever little we do rejected? And lastly, one more thing that, you know, brings waswasa in the mind of the person is zan. Thoughts. It is suspicion. And the greatest place of suspicion of the shaitan is between the husband and the wife. In Babul Waswasa, in the hadith, the muhaddithin mentioned this hadith, specifically under the waswasa of the shaitan. Shaitan's focus is the husband and the wife. Every night, shaitan puts his throne in the center of the ocean. And it got his army of shaitans and asked the small shaitans, what do you do? What did you do today? What did you do? What corruption did you spread? So somebody will say, I made somebody steal. One shaitan will say, I made somebody commit zina. Another shaitan will say, I made two people fight. And shaitan will just listen, okay, fine. Until one shaitan will come and tell shaitan, you know what I did today? I injected such a thought in between the husband and the wife that I caused them to separate. I broke the marriage. Shaitan gets so happy with that, he's sitting on his throne, he wakes up. And he actually embraces this small shaitan. The muhaddith that narrates this hadith, Al-Amash, Rahmatullahi, he actually stands up and he shows how shaitan stands up and embraces the small shaitan and congratulates him for what he has done. Broke about a marriage. And where it starts off from? Waswasa. Sometimes the husband does certain things, create waswasa in the wife. Wife does certain things, create waswasa in the husband. Especially in this age of cell phones and internet and all that. Avoid all those things that will lead to waswasa and that will lead to a breakup of the marriage. In conclusion, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just explained in short words. Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَذَا أُمَّتِي مَا وَسْوَسَتْ بِهِ صَدْرُهَا مَا لَمْ تَتَكَلَّمْ أَوْ تَعْمَلْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala overlooked the waswasa, the thoughts that come into your mind of the person. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't worry. Avoid all things that will lead to waswasa. And after having avoided everything, if there is a ghair ikhtiyari thought, you didn't inculcate the thought came all by itself, now you don't worry about it. Almighty Allah forgive, Allah overlooks that. The only thing you must not do is malam ta'mal aw tatakallam. Don't practice on the dictate of the waswasa. When the thought comes to your mind, let it just remain as a thought. Now, don't take it one step further. A thought comes to your mind. You seen a nice, good-looking woman. Thought, the thought comes to your mind. Fine. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Make tawbah istighfar. Then you're not supposed to look at her. But now that you looked at her, now second thought comes to your mind. Now, let me get in touch with her. How do you get in touch with her? Let me walk towards her. And then, from that, when you take it to the next level, that's the beginning of your destruction and your disaster and your doom. So, don't practice on the dictate of waswasa. Let waswasa, whisper, remain as a waswasa and stop it at that particular point. Just to conclude it, I'll give you an example of a waswasa. We think it's like a big tsunami. It's a huge thing on us. Now you go to a doctor, they would go to a psychiatrist, they will check up, they'll tell chemical imbalance, and then they'll give you different kind of medication. I'm not saying that there's no medical reason to that. There probably may be, but sometimes it's unnecessary that it's just a waswasa that leads you to all those kind of things. And just to explain how a waswasa could be, a person got a growth somewhere in his body. You get worried. What this growth is? You go for a checkup, doctor say go have an x-ray, do a scan, or whatever is a medical term for that. And the doctor may just say, I think it could be cancer. I think. And until that scan or that x-ray does not take place, you lose your sleep. You start writing down your will. You tell your wife, soon you'll be a widow. Your children may become orphans. And you probably already, if you are wishing well with all the people in the community, I think I'm diagnosed with cancer, you must come to my janazah. That's a thought. Imagine what thoughts go into the mind of the person just because of that growth. You went and took that x-ray, and you found out, no, it was just a boil, there was nothing inside there. What happened? Immediately your mind, from something disastrous to something peaceful. Exactly that is waswasa is all about. That you thought it's a cancer. It's not a cancer. It's just a boil with some water in it. Nothing. You just say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayah to understand how to repel the tricks of the shaitan. Shaitan wants to take us away from Allah. We are not going to move away from Allah. Through that very waswasa, we will even get closer to Almighty Allah. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.